Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Wealth Depends podcast. I'm your host, Derek Doyle, and this is Andrew Barron. Today's episode is being recorded on July 8th, 2026.
The information in this episode is current as of the date recorded and is not intended as financial, tax, or legal advice. You should consult your tax, financial, and/or legal advisors before implementing any transactions and/or strategies concerning your finances.
After the Independence Day weekend, we saw some recent changes as the Trump accounts, which were put in place during OB3, which was the new tax bill signed into office last Independence Day. Starting this Independence Day, families can finally put money into these Trump accounts. This is a new type of IRA created for anyone under the age of 18. And one of the key nice features of this account was that if you were born between January 1st, 2025, and December 31st of 2028, the government will put a, call it free, seed fund of $1,000 into that account. So it is free money in the sense where all you do need to sign up. So Andrew and I are going to discuss what are some trade-offs, what are other accounts out there already exist, and how this new account might fit into a plan. So let's start with how do these Trump accounts work. They can be set up through what is called the IRS Form 4547, or just through an online application through the actual Trump account website. Contributions are now eligible, and this is a tax-deferred account with contribution limits. Where do you see the new Trump account, Andrew, fitting into somebody's financial plan, whether that be a new family that has kids, or possibly grandparents that have grandkids, and they're looking to maybe move some money around for retirement savings for their kids?
So I've seen other commentators make the point that this is a way around the earned income limit for IRAs, that it's a way to jumpstart retirement for people, basically from where, I don't remember the exact numbers, but if you will fund the account between 0 and 18, by the time someone is 65 and ready for retirement, they have a pretty solid nest egg. And how do you want to do your math? It looks like ultimately this could be a way of replacing Social Security of over, let's say, a generation.
Mm-hmm.
And when cheaply replace it, because you get to tap into the growth and the compounding that happened over a lifetime, rather than having to make these large payments when someone actually attains retirement. That said, when I'm looking at my clients and I want making recommendations for how to save for children, I have a hard time getting on board with that, because between 0 and 60, you're going to have some other liquidity issues, and there's one just less going to happen. There's going to be reasons to tap into money, and there's already a major one, education, and then they have to adjust that 529. And in a state like New York, where there is a state tax deduction, focus would be to at least fund that account and get the state tax deduction benefit first. But even that, with the Secure Act expansion of what qualifies as an educational expense and the ability to roll out a portion of it in your Roth account, what's in? I have a hard time funding outside of the 529 until you really max that out versus Trump account where limited.
Yeah, I do like the point that you mentioned bringing up Social Security, because I know that's been a very hot button issue for a lot of retirees and a lot of people just in general who maybe haven't even started collecting yet, because there's that fear that their benefits might not be fully paid out by the time they're able to collect. So there's obviously that on the table. And before we move on to the aforementioned 529 plan, just some basic outlines of what the account can be invested in for the Trump account. So there are some few restrictions. The assets must be held in mutual funds or ETFs that are tracking an index of U.S. companies. So there are no individual stocks. There are no leverage products or anything in these accounts. They are very limited and strict in terms of they want it to be an index of specifically U.S.-based companies. And that there are no distributions that can be made until the year the beneficiary turns 18. So essentially, the account is locked in until the kid turns 18. And then after that, it basically turns into a traditional IRA and follows IRA rules where, you know, withdraws 10% and 59.5% penalty and ordinary income on that. So just some things to keep in mind on where you're moving your money and how it works. Now to kind of get into the aforementioned 529 plans. There were some big changes in the new tax bill that affected these plans. One of those being the expanded use for K through 12 expenses and the qualified educational expenses becoming, it seems, more lackadaisical in terms of what they truly qualify. It's getting more broad where it doesn't even have to be a four-year college expense. It could be a handyman license, or you're going for some sort of trade school.
Or any even
kitchen. Yep.
You do.
So of these differences between one being education-based and one being more retirement-based, where do you see the trade-offs lying between picking and choosing which account should I put money into? Which one offers a better benefit, maybe like a tax deduction or something like that?
Well, so exactly. The idea is that if you have a state like New York where there is a benefit contributing to the 529, the state tax level, that honestly makes sense. But if you look at a state like Florida that doesn't have state income tax, maybe it makes sense at a different time. Actually, just sitting here now, I was thinking about the key thing about Trump accounts is the earned income. That is key for normal IRAs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have someone, instead of focusing on beginning of life, if you're a teenager, 15, 16, where they didn't get a summer job or anything, funding the retirement now can be key. And even though you're not starting at first, they're starting right close to launch it.
Yep.
I think that could actually be where you get one specifically for retirement.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times with the 529 plan, we've recently had some conversation with some clients where people often get held up on the fact that if they overfund it, there might be money left over that would be maybe subject to that 10% penalty where it's not coming out for education anymore. You know, there are some cool quirks to the 529 where you do have the eligibility to roll $35,000 of that into a Roth for the beneficiary. And you've mentioned it before in the past in a lot of our client meetings, the beneficiary is not a, you know, static person. It can be changed.
Yes.
And there is no penalty to changing that beneficiary.
As long as they're related.
Yeah, as long as they're related. So I do see the avenue where a 529 plan, like you've mentioned in this podcast, it does have more flexibility, not only on the tax deduction piece, but also where those funds can go and for what purposes. So those are some things to keep in mind. As I mentioned before with the 529 plan, I'm sure plenty of people have maybe heard of this strategy, but could you explain to the audience, what is super funding a 529 plan? What does that mean? And who might be possibly thinking about doing that for a grandchild or a child?
If you wanted to make a large contribution, it would tap into time and the compounding effect of any investment. You can make a five-year accelerating contribution into a 529, which is a significant amount of money. The catch to that would be it does ban you from making any additional gifts for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it, once again, if you're tapping into the compounding effect that can be made. So exactly, if you have someone where education would super funded something and there's plenty of money in a 529 account, we don't need to make education's basically cared for, especially with per D1s4s. If you have a full ride and you're actually getting late 20, maybe 529 didn't kind of doesn't make any sense. Instead, we would look to these Trump accounts.
Yep.
Either to get one instead.
Yeah. And just to point out, with that accelerated gift, we're talking about the annual gifting exclusion. And for 2026, that is $19,000 that you can gift to unlimited amount of beneficiaries. Or $38,000 as a couple, and that is the amount before you have to file a gift tax form, which is 709. So essentially, it is a way to, that basically, like you're saying, kickstart someone's education day one and really have and let compounding take over after that. And you really, if you think about it, letting compound take over, that supercharged funding, if you give it 18 years or so to grow, can really you do one seed fund of the supercharge, and you're basically 18 years of compounding should do the rest. So
we're looking from a mathematical standpoint. If you have the capacity to do that, ultimately you're going to spend less dollars funding it.
Yeah.
It's just, you have the liquidity and capacity to fund it.
Yeah. So once again, Trump account geared more towards retirement, 529s, which have existed for a while now, geared more towards educational specific purposes, and do have a little bit more flexibilities where how the money can be changed and who it could possibly go to. So things to keep in mind, and all questions that you should be asking yourself and maybe your advisor when looking to put some additional savings funds to work. So I think that covers today's episode. I hope everyone had a great 4th of July weekend. And I am your host, Derek Doyle.
Lemon Firm.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for watching. If you found this video helpful, give it a thumbs up and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss future updates. Looking for more insights like this? Head over to our website at jgua.com for additional resources. And if you'd like to talk about your personal financial goals, we'd love to help. Just click the Schedule a Meeting button highlighted on your screen to book your complimentary consultation. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you in the next video.